Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, students. This is your instructor, Jessica McBride, and we are speaking again today with our JAMS clients, Anya Kupiecki and Mike Newman. Anya and Mike, are you there?
Yes.
Hello.
Great. Hi, both of you. Thank you so much for joining me again and taking the time out of your day to, you know, speak again to our students and update them on all of this. I just wanted to start out by getting your general impressions of how it's going, specifically with the JAMS Facebook and JAMS Twitter pages. You don't need to speak much about Media Milwaukee. I'll speak with Jane and Jesse about that. But in terms of JAMS, I guess I'll start with Mike. Mike, how do you think it's going?
Students are going very well. I'm really pleased to see engagement. I'm seeing more on Facebook than on Twitter, which doesn't surprise me that much. But I see a lot of really good stories being told, in particular about students. And I'm happy to see that that some of these posts have been viewed hundreds of times and are, I'm sure, making a positive impact with audiences, I think in particular with JAMS students, but maybe with others as well.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You haven't seen more on Twitter. They're required to post the same posts on Twitter that they do on Facebook, and obviously they have to write it in appropriate Twitter language and all that, so they are doing that. That's kind of interesting. They're pushing it out there as well. The metrics, when I've studied them, they look good on both fronts. So, you know, the numbers back up what you're saying. It's exciting to me to see the growth in engagement in particular, which is our key term, of course, and also the increase in reach. So our posts are reaching many more people, but more critically, like, they're doing something when they see it. You know, they're commenting, they're sharing it, they're liking it, they're retweeting it on Twitter. Anya, what's your general impression?
I would agree. I feel like everything has been going fairly well, very well, actually. And I really, like you said, the sort of upward and onward momentum of this, I guess, experiment in students controlling our social media has been really exciting to watch, because if you go back in time, you can see the reach slowly getting larger since they've taken over. And I think it's really amazing, and I love the stories that they're doing. Big fan of the No Beard Day post.
I love that one, too. And, you know, that was kind of a risky one, right, because it's using humor, it's tying into this goofy National Day, No Beard Day. And if some of the students don't remember that post, the social media manager for that day found a professor, David Allen, who has no beard, and just posted a picture of him. And that post got a lot of water cooler buzz. In other words, I heard you talking about it, other people talking about it in the hall in a positive way. I think that's a reminder that we can throw some humor in there if done appropriately, like every now and then, you know, so it's not all the same kind of, you know, thing. Professor Newman, what were some of your favorite posts? What did you think worked particularly well?
Well, I think it's good to have a variety of posts, and I'm interested to see how posts with pictures or with videos, you know, as someone who's interested in social media as its own kind of topic, you know, what works, what leads to engagement. I guess I think the ones that tell good stories are the ones that I think are really valuable. And so, for instance, about a story about an alum, Jared, who was a student of mine, I remember. I was happy to see him. The story about Miela, who's doing great work and whose journalism's contributing to, I think in that case, a HuffPost story. I like the one where Rachel Jurek is talking to students about applying for internships. I think the ones that tell a story where the reader is going to make a connection with it and appreciate the good work that we do, that has a positive impact, and I like that.
I will tell you that the numbers, again, bear out what you're saying. So when I pulled the analytics and I studied them in Excel and I exported, you know, the numbers for every post, we did find that photos did best. Now, we don't have much data on video, and the students were learning video this week, So I expect to see more videos in upcoming weeks. It'll be interesting to track those. The video you mentioned where Rachel Jurek, the internship coordinator, is giving tips on, you know, internships, that did do really well. It cracked our top 10 posts, you know, since we started doing this. So the early preliminary indication is that videos are probably also going to do really well. I think that speaks to the visual nature of social media, right? So people like to see the videos. They like to see the photos. And they help humanize the person you're writing about. So the posts that didn't do as well would be the curated things where we're just sharing some article, you know, somewhere. You know, people didn't engage as much with that. Anya, what were some of your favorite posts?
Other than No Beard Day. I would say a lot of the posts about our alumni I really appreciated, because I don't necessarily hear all the time where they end up, but like the post about Brandon Anderegg and then Olivia Schmidt, and I think the photos that went along with those posts as well were really excellent and nicely chosen. I don't know if your students took those or if they were supplied by the subject, but it's nice to know where people can go after they leave our department.
We have a lot of success stories to tout. We sort of have endless stories like that to tout. And I don't think in the past we have made enough connections back to our alumni. And that's really important in many ways. It helps future students want to enter our department because they realize they can get jobs with our degrees. But the alumni also are often in positions in the media, in ad PR and journalism, in which they're hiring interns, and they become the future employers also of job seekers from our department. So it's good in all ways, I think. Professor Newman, one thing that I noticed that we need to improve on is we've had a steady string of student posts now, and they do really well. Like, our top two posts were about students. However, we have multiple missions in our department, so I've been encouraging the social media managers who are coming up soon to do some professor posts. Posts showcasing our research mission, our theorists, our professors. So I know we have a student, for example, who's going to do a post in the future on Professor Allen's book for National Author Day. And I would like to see more of that, just to keep in mind that our department has multiple missions, I would say, which is sort of unusual for our brand. And we need to keep that in mind. The other core point is service. And I was speaking to a social manager the other day about doing a service-related post, and she's going to do, I think, Joette Rockow and her Humane Society work. To also keep in mind, we have this service mission because, again, just a reminder to the students, our mission would be probably research, teaching, and service. Professor Newman, could you just speak maybe to that whole point, you know, the need for balance on the pages?
Sure. I think it's great to represent all the department's good work. And student success, I think, will probably be the strongest driver of engagement, given who our audience is. If we think of our audience on social media primarily as maybe students and alumni, but also faculty and staff and others in the university campus community, for sure. Service and community engagement, I think, go together. So there's different kinds of service, and some might not lend themselves to exciting social media, but I think that the example of Joette Rocco's work with the Humane Society would be a great topic to cover. I don't know that you want me kind of throwing out ideas for the class.
Oh,
I'm sure
I do.
Yeah,
go
ideas.
For it.
But telling people what's going on in JAMS classes would be great. We have a variety of different kinds of classes. Some involve a lot of hands-on, like your class that I'm talking to now, but others as well, that could make for good pictures and good stories. I think talking about the faculty and their research would be great. Talking about community engagement and service would be great, too.
Could you give some examples of other service that's done in our department, just so students know what we're talking about when it comes to service in an academic department?
Yeah, I mean, some of it is serving on committees and governance groups and things like that. Like, I sit on the Faculty Senate. The Faculty Senate meetings are not scintillating, dramatic events for the most part. So, for instance, I think at the last meeting it was, we gave approval to a statement supporting DACA and to any members of the campus community who would be covered under that legislation. So the faculty approved a statement of support for undocumented students. And that, I think that's an important message that we send to the campus community and that the chancellor has also approved. So some of it is service by sitting on committees or by reviewing proposals and manuscripts and things. I'm not sure if that would make good social media posts. But the kind of service that's engaging in the community, I think, is great.
Yeah, and I think the DACA angle and what was done with the Faculty Senate, that would have been a perfect post for Media Milwaukee, you know, where we can sort of push out campus news, or we should be pushing out campus news, information, you know, breaking news, more of the hard news angle types of things. It was interesting to me that we've discovered in the analytics that people engage mostly with our hard news, so-called hard news, breaking news posts on Media Milwaukee, as well as the shares of our articles from MediaMilwaukee.com, whereas on JAMS, they're engaging with the humanized posts, you know, the photo posts of students and things like that. And that was kind of interesting because the sites are different in terms of what people are reacting to. Anya, I guess I was wondering if you had any sort of thoughts about things that you think the students are missing or maybe gaps in what they're doing or just what you'd like to see a little bit more of? I mean, I think we all agree, like, what we've seen we like, but, like, are there sort of any things you'd like to see more of?
I would definitely, as you guys have mentioned, like to see more posts about faculty and faculty research. I feel like that is, at least to the general public and possibly to our students, the most mysterious part of the academic department, because you can see the teaching mission. It happens every day, and students are there for it, and they also at least see the kind of more sensational service, so like Joette's Humane Society work, which everyone loves because everyone loves puppies, but no... And the research that's done, because we are an R1 institution, which is the, like, highest level of research, but people don't necessarily know what that means and necessarily know what that means on an individual level, so I would love to see more of that. I would love to see just, because that post with Rachel Jarek talking about the internships did do so well, I would love to see more just, Maybe not even posts about research necessarily, but also like get to know your professors, because there are I have students come in here that have never met some of the professors in this department, and I know the social media that sort of humanizes JAM seems to do very well. So, and we do have a new professor, Leah Wallach, who is teaching is teaching 620, the seminar on global media, which, since I've gotten here, students have asked about global media, and now we're teaching it, but really no one has met her except for the maybe 17 people in that class. So I feel like she would be a good start to let's get to know JAMS.
We do have a social manager coming up in a few days who's doing Leah, or is going to ask her if it was okay to do a post on her. And I agree 100% with what you're saying. And I'm curious to see if this humanized, photo-driven approach that we have found works with students will work with professors and staff as well. You know, so if we maybe that'll translate also to other human beings. It's kind of the humans of JAMS, right? To borrow from the humans of New York terminology, perhaps. Professor Newman, could you give some examples to the students about research that's going on in our department so we could demystify that word a little bit? Like, what does that really mean? What kinds of things are people studying?
Sure. Well, we're studying journalism and advertising and media and popular culture more generally. And, you know, we have a kind of diverse array of interests represented among our faculty. Some of us are interested in media history. Professor Rick Popp is working on a book about Time Inc., which is the, you know, the media corporation that eventually became Time Warner, and he's doing a history of that in the 1970s when big media conglomerates were growing and becoming more rich and powerful. And you know, like a magazine becomes part of the same company as a cable company, and you know, eventually joins forces with a film studio and music label. And that's just one example. I recently published a book about early video games, about the emergence of video games in America in the 1970s and early 80s. So that's sort of more of a media and popular culture topic. But you know, my colleagues include Professor David Pritchard and David Allen, who both study journalism and law and the law of communication, such as libel and defamation, and ideas about free speech and where free speech is or isn't acceptable, and what constraints can be placed on it. You know, that's a really important and current topic. And you know, our research interests feed into our teaching as well. So there are topics like fake news and Facebook and the changes in the way that information is being shared and disseminated and affecting society, and that those might be things that faculty are researching and teaching about, and one feeds into the other.
You know, I think the topics are really fascinating, and they'd be interesting to people if they're presented correctly. And I see that whole realm as rich terrain that we haven't really started to till. So there are many stories out there, many things people could do in the research front. I think when we go research, people just, like Anya said, they don't really know what that means. You got to break it down for people what that means in a way they can relate to and would find interesting. So the students could just go up to any professor and ask them about their research, get ideas that way. I think our professors are very accessible in our department. They're all willing to talk to students, you know, at any time. I think somewhat our social managers have started out operating in their zone of comfort, which would be the student realm. I think it's
right.
A good beginning, right? But we just need to make sure we embrace the complexity of our department. We have about 10 minutes left. So, Anya, I just wanted to kind of give you a final word here in terms of any other things that you wanted to mention to the students, you know, other ideas, things coming up, anything you thought was a problem that you saw, or just any final thoughts?
I didn't really see anything that was a problem. I really, like I said at the beginning, I really enjoyed watching this very different social media experience, because before it was Jeffrey John Loomis and myself that were posting, and obviously it wasn't quite as exciting for us since we were the ones who were doing it. But I love watching the students kind of grow as social media managers and really engage with JAMS as a department, because I feel like until they're a little bit further in their program and they're using the lab in 510, like a lot of our students aren't necessarily super engaged with the department as a whole. But I really, I just really love it, and I love the jokes. They're my favorite, like JAMS being a music class. Love that.
And that actually derived from research, because we did this survey of our target audience, right? We did this online survey, and it came out that apparently around the university, people do think that JAMS is a music major. So it's actually trying to correct a branding issue. But they did it really effectively. It was funny. I like the memes as well. You know, done tastefully, memes can be funny. I mean, I explain to the students they're kind of like the spice in the stew. We don't want a steady diet of memes, but, you know, a few, like, sprinkled here or there really break it up, and I think those have been enjoyable. I personally think the posts have been very thoughtful. You can tell that the students are putting a lot of work into it. They're taking their time. They're pre-planning them. They don't feel like rushed or slapped up to me. The only problems we've run into is there have been a few like typo spelling error kind of things. I wouldn't say it's a major problem in terms of a pattern. I haven't seen a lot of them, but I've caught them here or there. I monitor this like all day. You know, I go on it several times a day, and I try to catch those things, and we've caught them fast when they've occurred. But the students do need to keep in mind, like, they're representing you know, an academic department. And, I mean, we could become a meme ourselves if we can't spell correctly on social media, like the JAMS department. What? You can't spell? These things really matter, like the preciseness of word choice, comma use, making sure words are spelled correctly. Once again, it hasn't been a big problem. It's just been one or two things, but it is, it's a good thing to remind people of. Professor Newman, I guess I'll give you the final word here. Any final thoughts for the students, any problems you noted, just sort of generalized, you know, final summary on your part?
Well, I think they've been doing good work, so keep that up. I haven't noticed any errors or anything like that. I guess I'm paying more attention to Twitter than Facebook because I tend to pay more attention to it, and I'm really not sure how much our students engage with Twitter regularly. And in general, I know that Facebook is a much, much larger source of traffic referrals to websites and has just many more users. So I kind of wonder about the balance between the two, and I'll be interested to see whether there are ways of driving more engagement on Twitter. I would say Twitter is a very kind of community-oriented and interactive platform where people follow and are followed by many, many other users, and people who use it regularly are kind of keeping an eye on it all the time. So I don't know if passing the account around from student to student might make it a little bit harder to do this, but to be sure that our Twitter account is following JAMS students and JAMS faculty and other UWM accounts and local accounts, that might create more of a kind of interactive participation among the Twitter users who follow JAMS UWM and the students working on keeping the Twitter stream going. I think that each platform has its own specific affordances, the things that it can do or can't do, constraints and possibilities. So I would encourage the students to think about Twitter and Facebook as related, and you know, they might want to keep the same content going on both streams, but also think about what each one can do. That's distinct.
I think that's actually a great point, because we were talking more about Facebook. We want to give equal attention to Twitter. Now, in terms of what they're required to do, just so like you guys know, they have to put the same number of posts on JAMS Twitter as they put on JAMS Facebook, but I had said it could be the same content, which obviously makes sense, right? But they have to rewrite it in appropriate Twitter language using mentions, using hashtags, et cetera. And I think they've, you know, for the most part, all of them have remembered to do that. They've done it really well. When I've seen posts that I didn't think they used appropriate use of mentions and hashtags and things, I made them, like, actually delete it and retweet it. But actually, the metrics on Twitter have been really good. Like, we've been watching Twitter analytics, and they're kind of soaring. So it looks great on Twitter. But you make one really critical point that I do think we should hit here at the end that I'm not sure they're doing enough of, which is interaction, right? So on Twitter in particular, but Facebook as well, you, as a social manager, you don't want to just sort of throw tweets up there. I guess you're interacting by mentioning people and so forth. But you want to interact with other followers on Twitter, obviously appropriately, professionally, and you want to retweet their stuff, for example, because then they'll notice and maybe they'll retweet us, right? We'll get more followers on Twitter by interacting with influencers on Twitter, that being other people on Twitter who have an interest in the topics that we deal with, but who have huge followings of their own. And people like yourself, Professor Newman, like you're an influencer on Twitter. We could be retweeting some of your tweets, for example. And I'm not seeing really enough of that. They're posting their own stuff, but then they're kind of leaving the platform, you know what I mean? Did you just want to speak to that again? Because I think it's a really important point about the need to interact on Twitter.
Yeah, I think as a professional social media manager, it's probably a situation that you have to handle with some delicacy and care. You want to be careful that you don't interact in a way that harms the brand or that's you know, in any way likely to invite trouble. So I think as a person, as an individual, you have a lot more latitude about what you can do, how you can mix personal and professional or opinion and just, you know, links to things like that. So I know that there are challenges to that, But I think you're right. I think that it's a good idea to be looking for opportunities to interact, to retweet and reply. And, you know, sometimes these things happen to you, and I guess it's possible someone could start tweeting at Jams UWM with complaints or like mm-hmm. God knows what, right? But I think yeah. assuming that's not going to happen, that there are lots of opportunities to build engagement through that kind of participation in the online community.
And to build our follower base. And the students were taught how to, you know, pull a stream of mentions into TweetDeck so that they can follow who's mentioning Jams Twitter, you know, and mm-hmm. they need to be monitoring that. And like you said, sometimes that could be negative. We don't want to get into anything negative or flame wars, obviously, as a brand. But they should know what's out there, you know, what people are saying about Jams Twitter. I think we had something like 18 mentions since we started. So that's increasing as well, which is good. But, you know, an example of how a brand would interact on Twitter, the Milwaukee Brewers do this all the time, right? They'll retweet user-generated content. They'll retweet a fan that's posting something really positive about the Brewers or a photo with their kid at the Brewer game or something like that. And they'll often, like, retweet that, give a shout-out to that fan. You know, we could be looking to student and alumni Twitter pages for opportunities like that where people say nice things about our brand or are doing things that are interesting that we could retweet that are appropriate for our brand. And the professors, I think, tend to be on Twitter. I mean, I know you are, Professor Newman. Anya, are you on Twitter?
Yes, I am on Twitter.
See, we all of us are on Twitter. so I think the social manager should be monitoring those pages just for opportunities to interact, engage, retweet. If someone had retweeted one of your posts, Professor Newman, you would be more aware, for example, they're active on Twitter, right? So I think they need to reach out and sort of build that network, and that's going to help increase what Anya has been talking about all along here, which is community, right, a sense of community. So we have 2 minutes left, and I'm going to conclude here, Anya, with you talking about that notion of community, because you began there, and I think you're seeing a little of that growing with our social work, I think. I kind of feel that, a little bit of a community vibe increasing. What are your thoughts on that in conclusion here?
I agree. We're bringing some more alumni back to the page, which I really appreciate, because they've been through this process. They've graduated. They are successful. They are what our students want to be soon. And I don't know. It's nice to think about the department as a community, and I just want, in a perfect world, I would want alumni to come back to Jams and speak to our students and participate in programs, and I would want our students to feel comfortable contacting them with questions or just to touch base to see if they have any opportunities at their company, that sort of stuff. I just want
everyone. I really like how you said that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we have to go because we have 1 minute left, but I'd like to leave it actually on that note because I really like that notion. I like how you say that. I like what that does for our brand, and I think it is something we really need because we kind of have a seemingly fragmented mission, right, where we're doing all these different things, but they do all interrelate. They relate to each other. And so I just like how you said that. I think we should always keep that in mind that we're building community. Okay, well, we have to go, but I want to thank you for taking the time to do this for the students and also to trust them with the responsibility of running our platforms. I think it's an exciting opportunity for them. So thank you very much, and have a good day.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for having us, Jessica.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye.